The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 13, Text Number 21. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on October 25th, 2015, in Dwarka, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Pitri, Bhatri, Suhrit, Putra, Hatha, Te, Vigatam, Vayam, Atma, Cha, Jalaya, Grashta, Parageham, Upasase, Pitri Bhatri Suhrit Putra, Ataste Vigatam Vayam, Atma Charaya Grashta, Parageham Upasase, Pitri Bhatri Suhrit Putra, Ataste Vigatam Vayam, Atma Charjaraya Grashta, Parageham Upasase, Pitri, Father, Bhatri, Brother, Suhrit, Well Wishers, Putra, Sons, Hatha, All Dead, Te, Yours, Vigatam, Expended, Vayam, Age, Atma, The Body, Cha, Also, Jaraya, By Invalidity, Grashta, Overcome, Parageham, Another's Home, Upasase, You Do Live. Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Your father, brother, well-wishers and sons are all dead and passed away. You yourself have expended the major portion of your life. Your body is now overtaken by invalidity and you are living in the home of another. Purport. The king is reminded of his precarious condition, influenced by cruel time. And by his past experience, he should have been more intelligent to see what was going to happen to his own life. His father, Vichitravirya, died long ago when he and his younger brothers were all little children. And it was due to the care and kindness of Bhishma Dev that they were properly brought up. Then again, his brother Pandu died also. Then in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, his 100 sons and his grandsons all died, along with all other well-wishers like Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, Karna, and many other kings and friends. So he had lost all men and money, and now he was living at the mercy of his nephew, whom he had put into troubles of various types. And despite all these reverses, he thought he would prolong his life more and more. Vidura wanted to point out to Dhritarashtra that everyone has to protect himself by his action and the grace of the Lord. One has to execute his duty faithfully, depending for the result on the supreme authority. No friend, no children, no father, no brother, no state, and no one else can protect a person who is not protected by the Supreme Lord. For the human form of life is meant for seeking that protection. He was warned of his precarious conditions more and more by the following words.
Vandeham Shri Balakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Ragana Tanvita Damsujiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, Vidura is giving very good instructions to Dhritarashtra. He is seen everywhere around him. Death, 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 death. But yet he is thinking, but I will live a very long time. This reminds us of the wonderful instruction also given by Yudhisthira. When Yamaraj asked him, what is the most wonderful thing? He said, Ahani ahani bhutani ganchantiya yamalayam sheshashat. At every moment, countless numbers of living entities are being dragged to the court of Yamaraj. But those who remain here, they think, well, I'm going to live a long time. I got my wife, my kids, my house, my car, my job. I've got my position at the temple. I've got so many things. I'm going to live a very long time. You see? Kim mashcharya mataha param. There is nothing more wonderful than this. The living entity who can be yanked out at any second from his body is thinking, I'm going to live here a very long time, you see. This is my permanent home here in Delhi, New Delhi or Dwarka, you see. So we have to become sober. We have to become wise. We should not be carried away by this intoxication of material sense gratification, which blinds us to the reality. We have to see the reality. When we leave the body, that is in the hands of Krishna. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can kill you. And if Krishna wants to kill you, the whole Indian armed forces cannot protect you. Is it? So why be worried about it? Just say, okay, Krishna, I trust you, Krishna. I put my full faith in you. You are my ever well-wishing friend. I just leave it in your hand. When I leave, it's up to you. I can leave right now if you want. I can leave tomorrow, next week, next year. I can leave in 100 years. I can leave in 500 years. Vibha Mangala Thakur lived for hundreds of years in Vrindavan. Was it 700 years he lived? It's a huge lifespan. So just leave it up to Krishna. Whether you live for 500 years or 5 minutes, just leave it up to Krishna. Why worry about it? You just go on serving Krishna. Say, okay, whenever you take me, I'm ready. See? Because death is really not a big deal. It's really just a piece of cake, you know. Death is a piece of cake. It's like, well, you're serving in the pujari department, and then someone says, oh, can you come give the Bhagavatam class now? That's what it's like, death. You just change departments. You're serving in the pujari rooms. Yeah, Prabhu, we need to give you the class this morning. Come give the Bhagavatam class. Somebody else will cover the arti, you see. That's all death is. You're serving here in this department. Krishna says, well, I need you in another department right now. We need you in another department so, you know, somebody can cover your service. You just come to the other department now. That's all it is for a devotee, you see. For a devotee, it's just, Prabhupada said, you just, for a devotee, you go to sleep and you wake up with Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example of the mouth of the cat. There's two ways to experience the mouth of the cat. One is as a little kitten. Have you seen the mother cat? They pick up the big kitten by the skin on the back of the neck and give the little kitten a ride, you see. Meow, meow. A little kitten, oh, my mommy loves me very much. She's giving me a little ride, you see. Kitten goes for a little ride. That's one way to experience the mouth of the cat. The other way is the experience of the rat. Ooh. Prabhupada says the rat goes, ki, 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 which means dying. He's finished. When that cat catches the rat in the mouth, it's all over. It's finished, you see. So for the materialist, death is like being a rat in the mouth of a cat. And for a devotee, it's being like a kitten in the mouth of a cat. Death is the same, but the experience is completely different. You understand? So you be like the kitten, not like the rat, you see. By being a devotee of Krishna, you see. It's a simple thing. Just be a devotee. Man manama mamad bhakto majadjivang namaskuru. Mam vibharshashi yukvai vang atmanang matpadayanaha. It's not difficult to be a devotee. You just do what Krishna says. Is it difficult to think about Krishna? I mean, he's so beautiful. He's so good looking, really. I mean, Krishna's good looking. He's really good looking, you know. Wow. I've never seen such a good looking person, you know. He's beautiful. He's powerful. I mean, who has so much power? Is he? He's more powerful than a big wrestler. Even when he's a little kid, you know, Kamsa brought him into maturity. He wanted to kill him and Balaram. He's going to finish him off. You know, he put these two giants, you know, pitted him against two little kids against two giants. He wanted to watch Krishna being killed. He was already sitting there in his chair there in the stadium, you know, his special chair for the king, you know, sitting there enjoying the wrestling match. Yeah, now I'm going to see Krishna be killed, you know, just waiting for that moment. See Krishna leave his body. Yeah, I want to see Krishna dead. Is he? So, those two little boys, Krishna and Balaram, they took these huge giants, they spun them around and boom, they killed them. And the next thing, now Kamsa's sitting up there in the stadium, he's kind of, what happened? These kids, these little boys, they killed these huge giants. He's telling the Buddha, then Krishna runs up, he makes a run up into the stadium, he grabs Kamsa and he pulls him down to the arena, but sits on his chest and pow! Pow, 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 kills him off right in front of all of his citizens of Mathura. You see? So Krishna's a pretty strong fellow, you know, he's pretty strong. You don't mess around with Krishna. You mess with Krishna, you're going to lose. You're going to lose, you see. He's the most attractive person, he's the most powerful person. He's also the most renounced person. I mean, who could be more renounced than Krishna? Say, renounced with all those girlfriends? How you can say he's renounced? Well, grandfather Bhishma, he's known as the greatest renunciate, Dhritavrata, you see, because he vowed, I will never marry, so his father could satisfy his lusty desire to marry some young maiden, you see. I will never marry. So Bhishma Dev is celebrated as the greatest of all renunciates. But in the Rajasuya sacrifice, Bhishma said, actually, Krishna is a greater brahmachari than me, because he danced with all those beautiful girls and there was no pregnancy, there was no abortion, no sexual relationships. He danced with all those, he said, if I had been with all those beautiful young girls in the forest, I would have fallen down. But Krishna remained a strict brahmachari the whole time. Therefore, he is the most renounced, you see. Don't you try to imitate now, dancing with young girls in the dead of night. You will fall down. You see, you are not Krishna. You are not Krishna. So, beauty, power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, sarvagya, Krishna knows everything, you see. He knows everything, about everything. Many years ago I was preaching at the University of Florida. There's actually the longest standing Food for Life program in ISKCON is at the University of Florida in Gainesville. It was started, the program had been started originally by Gargamuni Maharaj, and then it stopped, and then I was sent out to restart the program in 1973. And ever since I started going out that day, I took the Prashadam out to the campus in 1973. It's been going on nonstop. It's now 2015. So how many years is that? 1973, that's what, 42 years, huh? For 42 years, that Prashadam program has gone on nonstop. But anyway, getting back to the point, I was... back in the 70s, it was the days of Mayavadi philosophy and the hippies. The hippies were all Mayavadis, you see. They picked up Mayavadi philosophy from India. So they used to come, I was giving the Prashadam, and they would come to me and they would say, I am God, you see. So I'd say, okay, if you're God, tell me when I was born. And they were defeated immediately, you see. But Krishna is not that kind of God. Krishna knows when you were born. He knows what you're thinking right now, so you better think proper thoughts, okay? If you think some dirty thought, Krishna knows it. If you think some good thought, Krishna knows that too. So you got to regulate yourself even within your own private mind that the other devotees can't see, because Krishna sees it. Krishna is fully cognizant. He's abhigya. He's fully cognizant of everything. So whatever you have to always think in a very pure and Krishna conscious way. From the moment you get up in the morning to the moment you go to bed at night, keep your mind always fixed with pure transcendental thoughts. And whenever they stray, just get a good hit. Okay, mind, whap! You're thinking some nonsense, I'm going to whap you again. You see? Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says you should beat the mind with shoes 100 times in the morning and with a broomstick 100 times in the evening. So you got to be strict with your mind, like a parent training a little child, you see. The intelligence is the mother and the mind is like the child. So if you want to be a yogi, you want to be Krishna conscious, you have to bring your mind under control. If it gets greedy, give it a good whap. If it gets lusty, give it a good hit, you see. It gets greedy, it gets angry, it gets envious. Say, okay, mind, you're not going to do that. We're practicing Krishna consciousness now. Get off of that nonsense track and get back to pure Shuddha Bhakti, you see. You've got to make your mind a pure devotee. Train it, you see. So anyway, Krishna knows everything. Then the next point is, power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge. There's no one richer than Krishna. He owns absolutely everything. Krishna directly states in the Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I own everything. I'm the owner of absolutely everything. And he is the most famous person, you see. You may say, well, most famous? I mean, in India he's pretty famous. What about America or Europe? I mean, how could he really be the most famous? Well, if you take the totality of all the living entities throughout all of existence, Krishna is definitely the most famous. Let's see. It's because, you know, in some country here in the material world, they don't know about Krishna. That's very insignificant compared to the vast number of living entities throughout all of existence. Krishna is the most famous person, there's no doubt. And by Prabhupada's mercy now, he's becoming famous on this planet. You see. Very famous now here. So that's who God is, you see. You're not God. I'm not God. God is that person who has unlimited power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. So to become happy in life, just like when a little kid, when he went here in India, one of the little kids, you know, the parents take him to the temple. He says, "Daddy, why do we practice Krishna? What is Krishna consciousness? Why do we do this Krishna consciousness?" His father didn't know what to say. He said something, but the child didn't understand him. But for a child's understanding, it's very simple. We practice Krishna consciousness because we want to be happy all the time. That's why we practice it, you see. Now there's other more esoteric reasons to get out of the cycle of birth and death and so many other things. A little child may not understand that yet. Mommy, what is birth and death? You see, they may not understand, but being happy, a little child can understand that. He knows when he's happy and he knows when he's sad. So a little child, we can say, we're going to the temple so we can always be happy. We can learn how to always be happy in every situation of life. Never be sad, you see. So this process is very, very effective. It's very powerful. It does elevate one out of the realm of miseries into that sublime realm known as the land of transcendental bliss, where one always experiences the mercy of Krishna showering upon him at every moment. Actually, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, they're all beautiful because it's all the mercy of Krishna. Sometimes the bad things are the best. In fact, Kunti Devi prays for bad things to happen to her. She sees, she wants to be put into distress. Vipada shatatashashvatatatachadagadgaro babanam darshanam yachad apunar babadarshanam. She is begging Krishna, "My dear Lord, please put me into distress. Put me into more and more difficult, distressful situations. Put me into more traumatic, troublesome, worrisome conditions, because that's when I can really take shelter of you and I can actually become full of unlimited happiness," you see. So the devotee doesn't feel angry. "Krishna, why you put me into difficulty?" No, "Krishna, thank you for putting me into difficulty." Because once you embrace this mood, guess what? There's no such thing as difficulty anymore. Everything is impetus for increased transcendental bliss. Would you like to become to that state of consciousness where every experience is an impetus for increasing your transcendental bliss? Well, you just have to embrace this concept then that there's no such thing as a negative experience for a devotee. The so-called good and bad are actually all good. It's all Krishna's mercy to pull you out of the cycle of birth and death and bring you back into your original identity. Yes, this is not your real identity here, of some person here in Dwarka, India. This is not your actual identity. Your actual identity is you're one of Krishna's eternal associates in his transcendental kingdom. That's who you actually are. You must have faith in this principle. Jivara Sarupahoi Krishnara Nityadas. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching. You are one of Krishna's eternal associates, or one of or Lord Narayana in the Vaikuntha realm. You are one of the internal inhabitants of the spiritual world, but you made a stupid mistake. You got a little envious. So why can't I? What would it be like if I was the supreme? Hey, I'd like to be the supreme. Okay, Krishna said, "I'll let you try it. See how you like it. You can think you're the supreme and see how you like it." There's an example in this connection that Prabhupada gives, and it's a very nice example. I've repeated it many times. There's a little girl, you see. Her mother, she's actually a spoiled little girl because her mother gives whatever she wants, you see. So the little girl looks out the window in the evening sky, and she sees the beautiful moon shining in the sky. And she says, "Mommy, Mommy, give me, give me." Now, can a mother give the child the moon? Is that possible? How the mother could give the moon to the child? It's not possible, is it? But the mother wants to satisfy her little daughter. So she gives her a mirror in which she can see the reflection of the moon. And she's holding the mirror in her hand. Oh, mommy loves me so much. Thank you, mommy. Now I have the moon. And she's looking at the moon in the mirror. So that's what Krishna has done, you see. We wanted to be the supreme, and we can't really be the supreme, but we wanted to be it so badly, he gave us the illusion that we're the supreme, you see? But it doesn't really work. The little girl thinks she has the moon in her hand, but then she turns the mirror the other way, and the moon's gone. She just pulls it a little slightly away from where it was held, and the moon's no longer there, you see? So you get here, and all of a sudden you realize, this is miserable. What's going on here? What's going on? Why am I suffering? You see, this is intelligent life. When you realize, why am I suffering? You see, you wonder, why am I suffering here? Instead of just going on this false sense of enjoyment, make money, get a car, get a guitar, get this, get that, enjoy, enjoy. You see, that's what they do here. These karmis, they just think they can enjoy. It's actually quite silly. They think they can enjoy in this place, you see, where at every minute they're moving towards death. I mean, it's crazy that people think they can actually enjoy here. There's no enjoyment in this place. There's none. There's no enjoyment. There's only one enjoyment. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, there is no enjoyment to be had in this material world except for one thing, and that is Krishna Nam. How is it that Krishna Nam is enjoyable? If we tell the general people, you know, all you need to be happy is Krishna's name, and say, are you crazy? Are you a member of some brainwashed cult? What's wrong with you? Don't you know money is when we need to be happy? They don't realize that, first of all, they don't realize many people are atheists now. They don't even realize there's a God, you see. And they don't realize, those who knew there is a God, they don't realize that God is fully present in the form of His name. These two syllables, Krishna, are Krishna Himself. Just like if you went back to Godhead, you get to see Krishna, you get to directly associate with Krishna. Well, you don't have to wait, Prabhus. You don't have to wait, Matajis. You can associate directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, right here, right now, just by having faith and saying, Krishna.
Krishna.
You just associate with God, you see, directly. Now you just have to come to the realization. And that is done by regular practice. That's why Prabhupada said at least 16 rounds a day. You are directly associated with God, but we don't realize it. That's why we fall asleep while we're chanting around. You see? Or we get distracted by this thought or that. We don't realize it. But if you keep practicing, if you avoid illicit sex, you avoid meat eating, you avoid intoxication, and you avoid gambling, and you chant 16 rounds every day, you're going to actually realize that Krishna is present. There's a nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which states that simply by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, you will directly experience the lotus feet of Krishna. So this mantra will take you to the direct association of Krishna. So maybe there's some questions. We have about a half hour left, and you can pass the questions forward now if there's any questions. We have some papers that are passed around.
Hare Krishna, aap log ke paas kagaz aaya hoga jo ki aap questions likh ke de sakte hain. Yahan pe kuch volunteers honge aur pen bhi rahega. The process will be voluntary. So Mata ji ki side pe agar kisi ka koi question hai wo chit pe likh dein to yahan pe pass on hoga uske baad jo answer kiya jayega. Hindi mein bhi koi likhna chahe Hindi mein likh ke de dijiye usko English mein translate kar denge. Kisi ke koi prashn hai
it could be a question on how to advance in Krishna consciousness, or it might be something, some challenge you heard from an atheist that you did not answer their challenge. You see, I can take anything is welcome, anything and everything.
जो भक्ति करते हुए आ रहा है उससे संबंधित प्रश्न पूछ सकते हैं हरे कृष्ण
And if it's something controversial you'll never dare to ask, now you can ask it anonymously by just putting on, no one will know who asked the question. So I need at least one question to get the ball rolling. Somebody can ask it verbally also. I need a question. Question, okay. You can speak it.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. Maharaj, as in the beginning you told, like, for the death, as statement is there, Mare Krishna, Rakhe Ke, Rakhe Krishna, Mare Ke. As we hear this statement about death, and you said, like, he's our well-wisher, ever well-wisher. And just leave on Krishna. So my question is, like, regarding death, as it can come any time, but how this faith can be strengthened that Krishna is our well-wisher, whatever he is going to do is good. How in regard of death I can just understand this, that Krishna is ever well-wisher? Because
yes, Krishna is what?
At this present stage there is like no realizations and no faith like Krishna is ever well-wisher, because we are in a practice stage. As it has been stated, like, Mare Krishna, Rakhe Ke, Rakhe Krishna, Mare Ke. But, like, how it can be strengthened for the faith that Krishna is really going to protect, and how to achieve that stage?
How to achieve the state of consciousness where you have full faith in Krishna's protection?
Yeah, at the time of death. Actually.
At the time of death, especially.
Death can come any time, but the faith is lacking.
Well, you have to realize that nothing can happen without Krishna's sanction. Not even a blade of grass can move in the wind without the sanction of Krishna. Nothing can happen without Krishna's sanction. So therefore, your death can absolutely, even if the whole Indian army comes to kill you, if Krishna doesn't sanction your death, they can't kill you. Not possible. Bhishma Dev had a benediction that he wouldn't die unless he wanted to, even though his body was pierced with hundreds of arrows, he didn't leave his body. So in a similar way, you see, unless Krishna has authorized your death, nobody can kill you. It's absolutely impossible. Even if they shoot you with hundreds of bullets, they can't kill you. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay, now we got a ton of questions.
Yeah.
Thank you for getting the ball and rolling, Prabhu. Okay. You gave the example of a cat carrying the kitten in the mouth. This is how a devotee's death is like. But in the case of a senior devotee who dies due to a severe accident, well, that means Krishna had a plan. Krishna wanted to bring him back, just like my godbrother Tamal Krishna Goswami, very exalted sannyasi, GBC guru with so many disciples. He died in a traffic accident and didn't really die, he just got transferred to a different department. That's all. So even senior devotees sometimes meet with accidents. It's not really an accident. Krishna had a desire at that moment, I need to bring him, he needs to serve in a different department now, so I need him in another area. So Krishna can do them. So the devotee is not disturbed by these things. He understands Krishna is acting in every situation. Many people say that they are happy. How to answer them? Well, yeah, they say, I'm really happy. Well, you say, were you happy all the time? What if you found out you had terminal cancer? Would you be happy? You see? They may be happy right now. It's called temporary happiness. But there's a difference between temporary happiness and permanent happiness. Material life means sukha-dukha. There's sometimes happiness and sometimes distress. You may catch them in a happy mood, but that mood doesn't last. And you can explain to them, you're happy now, I understand that, but your happiness is not there all the time, is it? Don't you have times when you're sad? Oh yeah, I do. You see? If I want diksha from you, what shall I do? Actually, for any ISKCON guru, it's very simple. We have many nice gurus in ISKCON. We have one who's not so nice, myself, but I'm trying. But anyway, what you do is you chant 16 rounds, you follow the regulated principles. and you become a very good member of your local temple, a very dedicated member, so they can see that this is a good devotee, and then they will recommend you for initiation. There's a few different things you do, and they'll tell you exactly what you need to do. Okay. Another question, the same one. How can we receive initiation through Lord Krishna and salvation. The handwriting. How can I receive salvation through Lord Krishna and my soul reaches to heaven? It's very simple. How to qualify yourself to go back to Godhead. You have to fully surrender to Krishna and Guru. They're the two parallel lines, Guru and Krishna. You have to surrender. Just like the train runs on two tracks, you surrender to Guru and Krishna. And then you'll be qualified to enter the spiritual world. Okay. A living being knows he is temporary, but why he's making so many future plans to become happy, which is not possible anymore. He may theoretically understand that this life is temporary, but he hasn't realized it. You know, it's not. There's a difference between understanding something theoretically and fully realizing it with your emotions and all your feelings. We may know this material life is temporary, but we feel that it's eternal. You see? So when you realize, then your feelings and your knowledge are all completely the same. But right now, we're not realized yet, so we know something, but we don't always feel it. You see? So by advancing in Krishna consciousness, gradually your feelings will align with your understanding. Okay. Impersonalists also give analogy that I have to love that their philosophy is. Impersonalists also give analogies to love that their philosophy is the right one. How do we deal with such situations? How do we have better explain our philosophy to such people? Yeah, impersonalism is very easy to defeat once you study the arguments. According to impersonal philosophy, everything is one. I'm God, Krishna is God, I am God, you are God. As this, what was his name? That famous so-called guru, he said, the Ridra Narayan, the beggar in the street is also God. So when you give a beggar a donation that he goes out and spend some nonsense thing, you've done Bhagavan Seva by serving the beggar in the street. Of course, we should take care of the beggars. We give them prasadam. That's part of our program. But the point is that it's not that a poor man in the street is God. God has unlimited riches. Lakshmi Devi is serving his lotus feet at every minute. The goddess of fortune. Not, a poor man is not God. God is rich. You see, to say that everyone is God doesn't make sense. It's like how many Supreme Courts are there in India? You have many Supreme Courts, right? A lot of them? Only one Supreme Court. Supreme Being means one. You can't have many Supreme Beings. My body philosophy says everybody's the Supreme. I'm the Supreme, you're the Supreme, the dog is the Supreme, that mosquito is the Supreme. Everyone is the Supreme. That's bogus. You can only have one Supreme. Supreme means one without a second. The Mayavadi philosophy said it's all one. So, okay. If it's all one, that means that nice plate of prasadam there and this dirt over here is the same. So you can have dirt for your breakfast. And if you really believe your Mayavadi philosophy, then eat that dirt instead of eating the breakfast. Okay? Then I accept that you really believe it's all one. Then don't just eat dirt. I'm going to give you a plate of dirt for your breakfast, sir. And if you really believe it's all one, you will eat that dirt. Okay. All right. Let's see what else we got coming here. All right. While doing, somebody gives me some Devanagari. I can't read it. What is that word? While doing, what's the Devanagari word there? While doing, top of it.
Bhakti.
Huh? Bhakti, okay. I don't read Devanagari. While doing bhakti, sometimes there's a fear of losing material possessions, family, home, etc., forever. You're going to lose them anyway. You're going to lose them anyway. Actually, here's three stages. Krishna, there's three different levels. For someone who's completely attached to all their material possessions, really tightly attached, they're becoming a devotee of Krishna, and they say, Krishna, give me more money, you know, money, money, money. Krishna, they go, they beg to the temple, just like when they beg for more money. Every Monday morning they come to the temple and beg that their business will get more income that week, you see. So Krishna gives them money. So they keep coming to the temple. He gives them the money they beg for. That's the lowest stage, a materialistic person. The next stage is someone who wants to become a pure devotee, but they still have their material attachments. So for them, Krishna will take away all the material things to help them come to the mood of surrender. But then there is one who sees everything as the property of Krishna and wants to engage the whole world in Krishna's service. Krishna gives them unlimited material opulence. You see? There's three stages. So if you see everything as the property of Krishna, he's not going to take anything away. He'll give you more. But if you want to be a devotee, but you're holding on to a false sense of proprietorship, then Krishna will take it away. So the key is, see everything as the property of Krishna and use everything in Krishna's service, and Krishna will give you more things to engage in his service. Okay. The path of Krishna consciousness taught in ISKCON is too complex. And what is the guarantee that this is the aim of life? This is the kind of questions I love. Challenging question. This is great. Thank you very much, whoever asked this. I really appreciate this. These kind of questions make my day, because now I can really defeat the nonsense material consciousness and establish siddhanta. I'm very happy with this question. Okay. Actually, it may appear to be too complex, but it's actually very simple. You have to just simply boil it down to its pure essence with the, in very simple terms, this is all we're really saying here. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. That's all. Our process is very simple. Forget, in fact, it is stated by Rupa Goswami, yena tena pakarena mana krishne naveshayat sarvabidhi nashedashur etayor evakinkara. Somehow or other, just remember Krishna. That's all. Somehow or other, just remember Krishna. And then all the rules and regulations will come to you with folded hands as your servants. So the complexities, don't worry about it. Just be Krishna conscious and all the complexities will bow down to you and serve you. There's so many little complexities, but they're just servants of you. When you put Krishna in the center, then all the complexities will bow down and become your servants. Okay. And what is the guarantee that this is the aim of life? That's a good question too. How do we know this is really the aim of life? I mean, maybe it is making money, or maybe it is really becoming famous, or maybe it is, you know, having a big family and being surrounded by all kinds of relatives, and maybe that is the real aim of life. But what do we actually look for? Analyze yourself, your own psychology. Don't you want permanent happiness? Aren't you, within your heart, don't you desire a happiness which can never be taken away? That's a fact. That's what we actually want. We want permanent happiness, not temporary happiness. So the aim of life then is to find permanent happiness. That's all. Now, if Krishna consciousness movement is giving that, then that is the purpose. And that is doing this job. And if we're not giving it, then this movement is missing the boat. But the fact is, we are giving you permanent happiness. And this is the actually, you can't show me any other way besides fully surrender to the Supreme Person that will give you permanent happiness, there is none. Even if you follow the path of the Mayavadis and merge into Brahman, you fall down after some time. It is stated in the Bhagavatam. You know that verse? You see? Ru Krishna Parang Padam Padam Patanyato Yadaja Yushmarangriha. Because they have no attachment to Krishna's lotus feet, Patanti at ho, they fall back again into material existence. So this is really the only way that you can have permanent happiness. And we guarantee, I will personally guarantee you, whoever asked this question, that if you follow this pathway according to the teachings of Prabhupada, according to the way that I will guide you to follow it, you will achieve permanent eternal happiness, unlimited bliss. I personally guarantee it. Thank you very much. Okay, now we got a bunch more. We only have 15 minutes. Now we have too many questions and not enough time. How to be consistent in devotional service? Sometimes we are very enthusiastic and sometimes not so. Sometimes difficult to follow basic instructions like chanting 16 rounds, follow the four regulated mantras, etc. You want to answer this one? We have to give you a mic. Huh? The question is how to be steady in devotion. Is there an extra mic? My wife is a great preacher. Let her answer a few of these. She's a fantastic preacher. I learn a lot from her all the time. She's a fantastic preacher. So the question is this. How to be consistent in devotional service. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we have a hard time chanting. How to have that steadiness in all circumstances. Close to the mountain. It's on. It was turned on. Just got it close to the mouth. So you say the key is to be serious.
This is my goal. I want to do just like what we have to go to the job. There is certain time. We are serious about it. We'll wake up, we'll go, and we'll go.
Yeah.
So anybody is serious.
So you're saying if they can be as dedicated to Krishna consciousness as they are to their job, they'll do good. They'll do well. So as dedicated as you are to your job, be that dedicated to your chanting. You may not feel like going to work, but you go to work. You see? So just like you're dedicated to your job, you should be dedicated to your japa, even more dedicated. But if you can be even equally dedicated to your japa as you are to your job, you'll become a pure devotee in due course. Another excellent point. I tell many people this. Many people come to me, they say, Gurudev, I know I can't chant my rounds, have it very difficult. I say, well, here's what you do. You don't take your breakfast until your rounds are done every day. And then your sangha will make you chant your rounds, you see. So, you know, if you just, you're so dedicated to eating every day, you become at least that much dedicated to chanting. So it's an easy thing. If you want to chant 16 rounds, you're not able to, then just make a vrat. I won't take prasadam every day, no prasadam until my rounds are done. And you'll get your rounds every day as early as possible. Yeah, it's a good point. Thank you for that, David. Okay, well, I become Krishna conscious by living with a son who is married, or shall I live separately than him to become Krishna conscious? Because living with them is a big tension. Maybe living separately from them. It depends. Thing is, if you're living with other people, you need to be in a proactive mood of giving Krishna to those people. Otherwise, it will be difficult. wherever you are, you have to always think, how can I inject Krishna consciousness into this situation? If you're in the mood of giving Krishna, then you will not be infected. Just like Prabhupada said, the preachers are not infected by dealing with materialists all day long. You see, they're protected. Just like a doctor deals with sick people, but he doesn't get infected because he takes care for his hygiene. So even if you're living with materialistic people, if you're in the mood of giving Krishna to them, always thinking, how can I make them Krishna conscious? Can I do this? Can I bring them to the temple? Can I give them some shadam? If you're in that mood, you'll be okay living with your family members, even if they're not devotees. As we are in ISKCON world, we come across so many news regarding guru and authority. Even people argue that a guru must be only a sannyasi. Well, I have many disciples here. They may be a little disturbed to hear these philosophy. But you know what? Actually, one of my disciples was told, your guru is a married man? He's not a sannyasi? How's that possible? But just look in the Krishna book. Who was Krishna's guru? Sandipani Maharaj. Sandipani Muni. Was Sandipani a sannyasi?
No.
Huh?
No.
He had a wife, right? So if he had a wife, he couldn't be a sannyasi, right? Who sent Krishna and Sudama into the forest to gather firewood? Guru Mata. There are seven kinds of mothers also. One of them is the wife of the spiritual master. Well, I mean, I guess the Vedas are wrong, right? There's only six types of mothers. And I guess Krishna made a big mistake. He didn't hear some of these ISKCON devotees that say that only a sannyasi can be a guru. I guess Krishna didn't get the word from the ISKCON devotees that he wasn't supposed to have a grihastha guru. Krishna made a big mistake. And here's another one. Look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described there by Prabhupada in his purport that according to the Pancharatra, only a grihastha Brahman can be a spiritual master and not a sannyasi. But because Lord Chaitanya introduced this principle, kiva viva kiva nashi, now sannyasis can also be gurus. The original principle is only grihastha Brahmins could be gurus and sannyasis could not be, but Lord Chaitanya let the sannyasis also become gurus, you see. By saying it doesn't matter what your caste is. So this idea is, someone who says this, they're completely in ignorance. They're not reading the books. They're going in the speculative realm. They're not reading Prabhupada's books. When Prabhupada authorized 11 disciples to initiate, of his disciples to become gurus, two of them were householders. Two of them. There was 9 sannyasis and 2 householders directly authorized by Prabhupada to initiate disciples. So, you know, people just don't know what they're talking about. This is a problem in ISKCON. We have so many ignorant people going around and saying things. I heard the other day somebody told that how somebody wanted to become my disciples. How you can be a disciple of somebody who's not an Indian? The guru has to be an Indian. He can't be an American. I mean, this is bodily consciousness. I mean, what is our first philosophy? I'm not this body. Somebody told this girl that she couldn't become a disciple of me because I'm an American. I mean, how stupid is this? The original 11 gurus were all Americans that Prabhupada created and authorized. They were all Americans. What is this nonsense rubbish going on in ISKCON? This is not ISKCON, this is MISKCON. They're missing the boat. Okay. How can we develop pure love while chanting Harinam? Avoid the 10 offenses. It's very simple. And then the pure love will come up within your heart like a spring arising deep from within the earth. Many times, even after chanting, bad times come. Actually, there's no such thing as bad times for one who is chanting. If you're actually absorbed in Nama, bad times don't happen. It's just different types of good times that are happening. You have to purify your vision, Prabhu. You have to purify your vision, Mataji. One who chants, nothing bad ever happens to him. Everything is the mercy of Krishna. To help him come closer and closer and closer to Krishna. Why good people do suffer despite their good deeds? Because they had all kinds of sinful activities in their previous life. Even now, good people also breathe, don't they? Well, breathing is very sinful. Do you know how many microbial germs you're killing every time you inhale? You are a mass killer. Even though you think yourself very pious, you're a mass killer with every breath you inhale. Therefore, there's only one safe position, and that is devotional service. Otherwise, even pious people are creating sinful reactions. Hare Krishna. How dispel the ignorance of Maya in the material world? Preaching. We are making a war against ignorance. Prabhupada told us that if you will simply cooperate with me, in 18 days we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. So we have to be in a revolutionary mood of taking over this world for Srila Prabhupada. Okay? You ready to fight? Who's with me? Who's in the revolutionary mood to take over the world for Prabhupada? Anybody? Jai! Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. As God, Krishna is already the most famous in all the universe. Even though he hides himself for general people and gives credit to Srila Prabhupada to make him revealed. Actually, Prabhupada explains this. A very nice purport in the Bhagavatam. He says that Krishna likes to see his devotee as the hero of an episode of which Krishna is actually the doer. Krishna is making all these arrangements, you see. But he wants to see his, just like Prabhupada, the son, the father becomes happy when his son exceeds him. Just like the father may have been a pauper, but his son becomes a millionaire, the father is proud. We were a pauper living in the village, and now my son is a millionaire. You see, he becomes very happy. My son has become a millionaire, you see. He doesn't think he's envious. So how my son can be a millionaire when I was a pauper? He's not envious. He's proud. So Krishna is proud of his devotee. He wants, even though Krishna is doing everything, he likes to see his devotee being credited with these things. He even told Arjuna, you fight the battle and you take the credit for defeating the enemies on this battlefield, even though it's all been arranged by me. Krishna wants to, he's more interested to see his devotees glorified than seeing himself glorified. That's Krishna's wonderful mood of renunciation. What is the practical way of making the mind, whacking the mind when it suggests nonsense? You have to say, mind, stop doing that nonsense. Bajahu re mana shri nandanandana abhaya chadanana vindare. My dear mind, please give up all that nonsense and just absorb yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. Even after ample sleep, I still feel sleepy while chanting. Please suggest a solution. Stand up. If I'm unable to focus in the first 12 rounds, for example, but in the last four I'm able to, then also I don't feel chanting very well. Well, it takes time to master this art. We have been absorbed in the material energy for millions and millions of lifetimes. Don't expect to become a Paramahamsa overnight. It takes time. It takes decades of chanting to master this art of transcendental meditation. You just got to keep working on it and understand every time I say Krishna, I'm making advancement. Every time I say Hare, I'm making advancement. Every time I utter Rama, I'm making advancement. Just keep doing it. Have faith. A 1,000-mile journey begins with the first step. Just keep walking step by step, and that day will come when Krishna fully manifests to you. You will see him face to face, eye to eye. You will see Krishna directly, and then you will know for sure there is God. The desire of going back to Goloka Vrindavan also include the five types of liberation. Included. Yes, to The desire to go back to Goloka Vrindavan is the desire to live in the same abode as the Lord. It's a nice desire. It's favorable for your Krishna consciousness. However, on a higher platform, you don't need to think, oh, I have to go back to Godhead. On the higher platform, you actually realize you're already back to Godhead. By taking shelter of the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna, you're already back to Godhead. You see? That's a higher position. But it is good to desire to go back to Godhead. That's why we have our magazine, Back to Godhead. You should desire to go back to Godhead, but gradually you realize, hey, I'm already as good as back to Godhead, just by being absorbed in devotional service, you see. Actually, the advanced devotees, I know one very advanced devotee, he distributes books. He doesn't desire to go back to Godhead. He says, I want to take birth after birth until every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet has Prabhupada's books. He does not want to go back to Godhead. He feels going back to Godhead is selfish until everybody has Prabhupada's books. Then he can go back to Godhead, you see. That's a very transcendental mood. And I guarantee he's in a state of bliss, even a state of great bliss. He says, I even feel guilty when I go back to the van to take prasadam or take rest. How can I go back and eat when people don't have Prabhupada's books? This is a wonderful mood, you see. So that's a very high level of Krishna consciousness. And we can aspire to come to that point. You told that we get real happiness through Harinam. We preach the same thing to others. He may not agree. Maybe because I don't feel happiness through Harinam. And I am maybe a sort of a hypocrite to preach this. So I may say that there's no pleasure to be had with the holy name, but I'm still holding out to my own subtle desires for this and that. That's the confusion. So, here's the deal. Just imagine a candle, okay? And you want to get rid of that candle, you want to burn it down as fast as possible. How do you do that? You light it on both ends, you see. And then it burns down twice as fast. So yeah, you could say, well, I don't really want to preach until I'm a pure devotee. Then you can't preach. Until I'm a Paramahamsa and I'm seeing Krishna face to face, I really can't preach because it'd be some hypocrisy. Then you can't preach at all. But the thing is, you've been ordered to preach by Prabhupada, by Lord Chaitanya. He didn't say when you're a Paramahamsa preach, he says, no, preach. Preach, preach, preach. Prabhupada ordered us, preach. So on the order of my spiritual master, that is my qualification. I may not be seeing Krishna face to face, but I've been told by my guru to tell everybody that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If there's any hypocrisy, then it's my guru's fault for sending me out to preach. But I've been ordered by my guru to preach, and I'm doing it. That's all. That's honesty. You see? But the thing is, the more you preach, the faster you advance in Krishna consciousness. So you work it from both ends. You see, you focus on the one hand on very good sadhana, going deeper into the name. From 4 a.m. to 9 a.m., you try to save yourself. And then from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., you go out and try to save the world, you see. Then the evening, you come to a program at the temple or you're back to your home. You focus on saving yourself again. So we're meant to be in the mood of saving ourselves and in the mood of saving the world. So do both things. And that's burning the candle at both ends. That you give up your notches twice as fast that way. Don't think, well, I can't preach because I'm not fully realizing the nectar of the name. How I can say the name is unlimitedly nectarine when I'm not tasting the unlimited nectar yet? Well, actually you are, but you just haven't fully realized it. The unlimited nectar is actually there, but you're not realizing. You're too dull to realize it right now. That's all. But by preaching, that will sharpen your consciousness. That's why I preach. That's one reason I preach. It's good. I'm very Krishna conscious when I give lectures. Therefore, I like to give as many lectures as I can because it makes me Krishna conscious. It helps me to become more Krishna conscious. You see. Even Prabhupada said, I am not perfect. But my perfection is I serve the one who is perfect. So if Prabhupada says, I am not perfect, what is my position? Can I say, oh yes, I am perfect? If Prabhupada said, I am imperfect, what is my position? I have to say, I am imperfect. I haven't perfectly realized Krishna yet. Even Prabhupada said he was imperfect. So, but my perfection is I'm following the order of my spiritual master. That is my perfection. So you may not be perfectly realizing the holy name, but you go out and preach it on the order of your spiritual master, and by that preaching you'll become perfect, and you can make the whole world perfect, you see, in this way. So I'd love to answer these more questions, but our time is finished. And that's it. Finish these questions? All right, no more questions now. I've got a special exemption from your leader here. I can answer the questions that are on the table. No more should come. Okay. How to read Prabhupada's books in the most effective way? A regulated time every day, a half hour a day, whatever you can muster. Make a regulated program every day to read. Why sometimes devotees don't feel enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness? Because they forgot Prabhupada's order. Prabhupada directly ordered me to always be enthusiastic. He said if I did so, Krishna would bless me. And you know, it works. So the order is, you must always be enthusiastic. I'm ordering all of you today, you must all be enthusiastic. And if you do that, Krishna will bless you. So if you're not being enthusiastic, you're forgetting the order. That's all. So stop, don't forget the order. Now, this is totally in Hindi. I can't read that. We'll say that to laugh. Okay. The feeling of good or bad happening to me, it's difficult to maintain the same level when it actually happens to us. That's true, but when it happens, you have to say, okay, let me be introspective now and analyze how this is actually good for me. And your mind won't immediately think it's good, probably, because we're still neophytes, I understand. But then you have to step back from the thing, you analyze it from the scripture viewpoint, and see how it's actually good. Prabhupada's an example. There was a whole thing in ISKCON where Prabhupada was being minimized. Some poison came in from the Gaudiya Math, and Prabhupada was being minimized in ISKCON back in 1970. There was this minimization of Prabhupada going around ISKCON. And Prabhupada was very disturbed by this. He prayed to our headquarters was in Los Angeles at that time. He prayed to Rukmini Dwarkadish, why are you kicking me away? And he couldn't understand what was going on, why he was being minimized in ISKCON. Some disciples were spreading this minimization poison around ISKCON. And and that's when Prabhupada came to India. And that's when Bombay, Delhi, Bombay, Mayapur, and Vrindavan came up. And after that, I realized that Prabhupada, now I understand. So Prabhupada couldn't understand why this bad thing is happening, but it actually became revealed. This is a wonderful thing where now we can see India is leading the whole ISKCON world now. This is the most successful ISKCON in India. India is leading the world in ISKCON world now. Formerly there was nothing here. Not even one person would join. When I first came to the Mayapur Festival in 1980, it was all Westerners, Australians, Europeans, and Americans. And maybe about 10 Bengalis. And that was it. It was all white skins. But, you know, spirit souls, but with white skin bodies. The whole movement was, even in 1980, was practically all Westerners, you see. So, but Prabhupada, he thought it was a bad thing. But actually it was Krishna's arraignment, so India could now become infected with this fever of bhakti, you see. So you may not realize it immediately how it was a good thing when it appeared to be bad, but in the long run, you realize it. Okay, does Krishna know our future? Absolutely. If yes, then there is no question of free will. That's not true. Krishna knows what you're going to do, but he's not forcing you to do it. This is somewhat hard to understand, but it's a fact. You have complete free will. It's your choice when you will go back to Godhead. Totally up to you. Krishna knows we're going to do it, but you have the free choice when you're going to do it. Okay, please. I was told, like, huh? Speak up, please.
The question that you answered
about the Krishna knowing the future.
Free will.
All right, go ahead. Enlighten us further.
Free will, when something like some devotee approaches you, you ignore it. Krishna wants you Krishna has made arrangement that the devotee approaches you, but then it is your choice whether to take it or leave it.
Krishna makes an arrangement, the devotee approaches you, and it's your choice whether you take it or leave it. That's in regard to the free will question.
Yes. So this is your free will, what you want, whether you want to take it or you want to leave it.
Yeah.
So if you take it, you are free.
Yeah. Okay. So, how does that answer the puzzlement of the mind, though? Then how can I have free will if Krishna knows when I'm going to do it? Yeah, it's true. Please share of your key of success in Krishna consciousness. As you are serving for so long and blissful, whatever success I have is simply by being dedicated to the order of my spiritual master. That's all. There's nothing else. You have to be just dedicated to your spiritual master's order. You have to take the order of your spiritual master as your life and soul. That's how you'll be successful. How can I, a Mataji, become surrendered to Sri Guru and Vaishnava? Well, you have to you take initiation, and it's very simple. There's four pillars of success in Krishna consciousness. Four steps. Let's see. The first one is First one is faith, Shraddha, faith. There's Shraddha, Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Diksha, and obedience. SSDO. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Diksha, and obedience. If you will follow these four principles, you'll become a pure devotee. You have faith in this process, you take shelter of the association of devotees, get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and be fully obedient to your spiritual master's orders. These four things will take you into the realm of pure devotional service. Now, where's the translation for the Hindi one? It's already written down. So that's it. If you'd like to give some more points to finish on that? Okay. So we're just absolutely delighted to be with all of you here today. It's just a wonderful... I remember my previous visit here, and now my memories of this place have become even sweeter by being here. The kirtan was great. And your questions were fantastic. You're paying very nice attention. I'm very hopeful. I can see you have a nice cooperative mood here. You have nice leadership here. You have every facility to make this an incredibly successful temple. So just keep doing what you're doing, and Krishna will bless you with unparalleled success. So we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.